Mr. Speaker, I think the previous speaker made my point. This is, the policy goes the wrong way.
Representative Larson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I agree with the philosophy. It'd be nice to encourage all students to go to school in Alaska. But I think in this case, I just want to introduce a more practical side to the argument that we have. Let's assume, say, that we could get all of our students back to Alaska, whether it be by giving them forgiveness on the student loan or whether it would be giving them free tuition. With the state's economy as it is, how could we ever afford to build the buildings that would be necessary? I'm sure we would have to at least double the facilities of the University of Alaska and all the other institutions of higher learning. So even though it's nice to keep all of our students home, we just don't have the facilities to house them. And doing something to move towards that direction, unless we're willing to go all the way, just doesn't make much sense.
Representative Hanley, you've been seeking the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would also agree that I think it's ideal that we would afford this opportunity and this forgiveness to all students, but it's obvious that the majority of the members of the body didn't agree when we voted on that yesterday. I think the incentive to have some students or have more students consider Alaskan schools is worthwhile. I think that's something that many we've tried to promote. I think there'll still be students going outside. In response to the majority leader who said that this amendment discriminates against doctors, I think the bill discriminates. And in thinking about it, I think since our debate yesterday, I thought perhaps the more appropriate approach, if we're trying to get doctors and health professionals to go to the unserved areas, and the fact that the WAMI program is not bringing back as many as we'd like, perhaps a condition that you would serve in an unserved area for 2 years if you're going to take advantage of a subsidy through WAMI or through WICHE. I think that the bill that would just that would give 70% forgiveness to doctors, osteopaths, and nurses, particularly on top of perhaps another subsidy that the doctor has gotten, really is discriminatory. And it's something that upsets me when we're giving such a preferential treatment to one group of people and depriving it from all others. I prefer the amendment we had yesterday that didn't pass. I'm willing to support the amendment we have today that at least those students in the state who choose to go to school here in Alaska would have the opportunity of getting 40% forgiveness.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to support this amendment, and I've been thinking about what Representative from Ketchikan mentioned about this. We are bringing forward social policy here. The last time I was home, I talked to a professor at the university who has three students that went outside to school, and they've got jobs outside because they're not going to come back to this state and the economy the way it is. And he said, do something for our economy here so we can get some of my children to come back because they want to come back. And I think you can look at this amendment as a jobs bill. This is going to create employment in the state, and it's probably going to get some of those students to think about maybe they can go to school here. And we've all heard testimony and documentation that where a student goes to school is probably where he's going to reside for several years. So this way, this is perhaps one provides an incentive for those students to maybe look at an option of going to school here, and maybe some of those students will indeed stay in the state instead of go someplace else to get a job. Thank you.
Representative Boucher.
Just very briefly, I made some remarks earlier. There's another aspect of this, too. We tend to think in terms of student loans to the young wild-eyed kid that's graduated from high school and off to Stanford or Brown or wherever. But the representative from Fairbanks pointed out, well, it is a jobs bill. There are people here that are being put out of work in the state because of changes in technology. People who could move on to someplace else where there are constructions or other things. And I think that it's not only an opportunity to bring, there should be an opportunity to bring young people back to the state. There should be a young opportunity for young people to do this and young people to do that. But there also should be an opportunity out for those people who have been educated a certain way in a change in society. You know, education today, as we move in the age of change, is a plug-in, plug-out proposition. Years back, the person tended to follow what the father did, but that's not happening today. And I think that this is another opportunity. I think that my distinguished colleague from Ketchikan pointed it out well, that this should be definitely a social tool. So I think that we need to take a look at the larger perspective on it, the opportunity for additional jobs in the state. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Rieger, you had a bye last time. Go ahead.
All right. Mr. Speaker, I just want to say maybe we should go back to thinking about the students instead of trying to think about this from some other perspective. I think the most important thing is to encourage a student to have the best education they can get and have the maximum choice of where they can go and pursue that best education. And in some cases, there is a perfectly adequate education in the university system we've built up. In some cases, there's not. And to impose a financial penalty on someone when they have to weigh whether to go to a more appropriate education outside or to go to the University of Alaska, I think is exceedingly parochial. And I think that it's not taking the student's best interest to heart when you do so, not to mention the $4 million fiscal note that we're costing ourselves in doing so.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall Amendment Number 3 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
13 yeas, 21 nays.
Amendment Number 3 has failed adoption. The bill is back before us in third reading and under reconsideration and debate. Representative Martin.
Yes.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been waiting to introduce a guest for the appropriate time. I move and ask unanimous consent we go back up to the introduction of guests.
Are there any objections to going up to introduction of guests? Hearing none, proceed.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce a constituent of Representative Hanley and Representative Pearson, a friend of mine. Person some people will know as a radio personality in Anchorage, Mr. Fern Chandonnet. Please help me welcome.
Any further guests for introduction? Guests for introduction, Representative Martin? Okay, this brings us back down to the bill before us and under reconsideration, Representative Martin.
Under reconsideration, I'd better get my argument in before Mr. Chandonnet appears on this floor. I'd hate to debate him. Yesterday when we had this before us, there was a couple of statements that were made that I think do need clarification. One is that WAMI program is a special group for people to get a medical degree. But a few years ago, we changed that so that the WISHI program allows students to get medical degrees from a number of cooperative universities, mostly in the western states. So those students save us more money per body entered into those institutions, whether it be Arizona or California. The main point is that either under the WISHI program or the WAMI program, we take up as a state a substantial amount of costs for those students who are in the medical field. And it's not similar to in the lower 48, if a person is from the state of Washington, he or she must find their own ways to fund that program. We're the only ones that pay wholeheartedly their out-of-state fees for them. And so they are receiving a substantial amount of support, a subsidy for their education. When they come back into the state, our medical professions are paid very, very well. As we can attest to last week when we passed the increase of the medical aid bill, $23 million. And most of it was said by our own department. It has said this is getting to be such a cost because our own departments have no control over it. The providers can charge pretty well what they want up to the federal limit. And the federal people are getting excited because our medical providers are very handsomely paid. It was also mentioned yesterday that this is a voluntary program. And that's very true. But there's not many people who are forced to take money. I've never known it yet. I don't know of anyone being forced to take the greatest giveaway program we have, the permanent fund dividends, they voluntarily take the money. So that there's no basis for that one. I really think that this is discriminating. These people who are in the medical services get very hefty benefits and subsidies now going to school. We don't need to give more inducement. Thirdly, on line 12, it's an and/or deal, 60 miles away from a hospital. Well, where we want these people to serve, if they do serve, if they choose to work in Royal Alaska, is around Kotzebue Hospital, is around the Bethel Hospital, is around the Borough Hospital. So why should we have a limitation of 60 miles or more away? The major medical clinics are going to be in those areas. Sure, in most of the royal communities, we have medical clinics that our attendant nurses go to, but I don't expect a professional person to establish things there. So I really think that the bill is not beneficial to helping Alaska to get more medical people to stay in the state, and it's just giving more money to a professional group that's already well paid.
Representative Ellis.
Mr. Speaker, I just care to clear up one misperception of the former speaker, and that is that to read on in the sentence that makes reference to the 60-mile limitation, the geographical area around a community hospital or any kind of hospital, the sentence goes on to say, or a medically underserved area designated by the state. And so those villages that were mentioned, Kotzebue and the others, are all medically underserved. That's well documented in the backup that's available to all members. So there's a geographic designation in terms of miles, and there's a designation in terms of personnel and what would be defined as medically underserved. So there's really no problem there. The areas of the state that are in most need are complete, would be covered.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 409, Finance, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
27 yeas, 6 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 409, Finance, has passed the House on reconsideration. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on final passage be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Is there any further unfinished business to come before this body? Announcements of standing committees or special committees? Any committee announcements? General announcements? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have three general announcements. First, two unpleasant reminders that the APOC conflict of interest reports are due today. And finally, a word everybody's been waiting for. I know that income tax is due today, in case anybody doesn't know. And then also that there's a majority caucus at 4 p.m. Monday in the speakers to discuss more budget matters.
Okay. Representative Gall, announcements?
Yes, excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess we're about 20 minutes late, but I think everyone's been waiting for an opportunity to help the children of the state at no cost, and that opportunity is with us today. About 20 minutes ago, there was, I guess, what they call the balloon release outside the court building, and there may be some child advocates still wandering about out there, and members may wish to go and socialize.
Representative Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to announce the, thank goodness it's Friday, celebration over in 603 Court building. This week it's sponsored by myself and Representative Miller's office and Representative Rieger's office. I hope you'll all come and join us this afternoon. Thank you.
Representative Adams.
Thank you. House Finance will meet tomorrow at 1:30 to close out the following budgets: University of Alaska, Corrections, Office of the Governor, and Community and Regional Affairs. On Monday, there are three bills coming out of subcommittee. One, House Bill number 444, an act amending appropriations and making miscellaneous supplemental and special appropriations providing for an effective date. And also House Bills number 430 and 431, the Neighborhood Business and Housing Development. Thank you.
Any further announcements? Representative Cotton.
Speaker, I'm sure most people don't need reminding, but tomorrow night at Centennial Hall, the Greater Juneau Democratic Precinct is having their annual legislative skit and dinner, and all members are, I think everybody, all legislators get in free, isn't that right? So, you're all welcome.
Any further announcements? Special orders? Mr. Majority Leader?
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent. The House stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. Monday.
11 a.m. Monday.